Hey fam, and welcome to another episode of the Bros 3 Podcast for March 8th, 2021. How you feeling? What you feel like?
What you know that to be real?
I hope you're out there being the realest individuals that you can be. I hope you're finding out good things about yourself. You know?
What you know to be real.
Yeah, I'd love to do a little bit more. What you find, what you feel, what you know. Whew. To be real, y'all, it's a good thing. It's a liberating feeling not to live that lie, you know? All right, so talking about being real, see how I segue into that thing? One of my coworkers brought up to me about a training video that Coca-Cola put out for their white employees. And the internet is calling it the Be Less White Coca-Cola training video. I didn't watch the video, but I read a couple articles about the video. And the video was telling their white employees to be less confident. Like when you're working with someone from a different ethnicity or different background, they were giving the employees tips to, I guess, make other employees feel comfortable. And they were basically telling them to be less confident, be less assertive. And to me, like, to make yourself, a white person, less, to make someone else comfortable, is not an inclusive feeling. Like, to me, that seemed like something you hear, the information that they were giving this training video seemed like something you hear like from the 1950s. Like, they hired their first black person and then they had to put out a training video because people didn't know how to act. Like, so your company has hired a Negro. Negroes typically are lazy and shiftless, so do things to make them feel better. Leave fried chicken and watermelon in the break room, because they're going to steal it. Never look a Negro in the eyes, because they're witchcraft. They will steal your white soul. Follow these steps, and just maybe, he'll fail the company drug test. I don't think, to me, it's pandering. You know, you telling this other group, like, oh, don't be the person that you are. Be less, because your awesomeness and your superiority will frighten these people of different backgrounds. I didn't really like that. And then me and my coworker, we started riffing back and forth. Like, okay, so if they hire a diabetic person, Are they gonna tell the people without diabetes, like, so you've hired a diabetic? Well, follow these tips and hopefully he won't go into anaphylactic shock. Insulin shock, doggy. Do small things. Like, don't put sugar in your coffee. Don't have that sweet treat. And that's temptation arises, please don't drink the Coca-Cola. Splashing Coke on a diabetic will surely kill them. Follow these steps and hopefully they'll lose their feet before you lose weight. Like, I don't like that. You know, I got bad eyesight. I wear glasses. So if someone has 20/20 vision, are they going to tell them not to squint when they look at the board to make me feel better? I should use the music. Oh, well. I don't like that. I didn't like it. So
I don't think telling people, if you point out somebody just based on race, then you're not seeing them for who they really are. You know, like, okay, like, let's say they hire a handicapped person. Are we going to get this? So, I see they've hired a handy-capable individual to join the Coca-Cola family. Well, that's swell. Follow these tips and it'll make them feel a heck of a lot more at home. And wouldn't that be swell? Hey, Johnny, what are you doing? Are you taking the stairs? Well, our friend doesn't have legs that work. You take the ramp. And when you talk to a cripple, make sure you squat down. See them at their eye level. The world looks mighty funny down here, doesn't it? Well, make sure you don't walk without a limp. Follow these steps, and maybe they'll get a disability check and stop working at Coca-Cola. You know, those type of things are not inclusive. The crazy thing is, I don't think you make someone feel better by, quote-unquote, stooping down to their level. You make them feel better by letting them just be. But see, we in America, we have a problem with that, because when black people, or people of another race, ethnicity, whatever you call it, show love or pride, then that becomes an issue for people not in that group. Like, everything can't be about you. Like, black people, we try to show ourselves black love, we try to have black pride, because for so many years, we were told not to love ourselves. You know, and because we're building up ourselves doesn't mean we're tearing down anybody else. We're saying, yo, black power, let's have pride in being black. Let's, you know, let's dig all the wonderful things we've done, we've accomplished, you know. And but that, it seems, is anti-white. You know, pro-black does not mean anti-white. Just, I want to put that out there. Somehow that scares white people to the point where, check this out, y'all. White people, and I'm sorry, I don't want to be divisive, but I'm saying, like, white people are so nervous about other races, not just black people, other races, that a lot of people in America, white people, are Christian. They took a dude, Jesus H. Christ, they took this man and changed his whole facade. Like, he's now, he was born in the Middle East, Jerusalem, all, you know, he was born in Jerusalem. I've never seen a white person native to Jerusalem be Jerusalem. Jesus now, when you think of Jesus, unless you got a strong sense of who you are, you see white Jesus, no sunscreen lotion on him, with his brown wavy hair, these blue eyes, and his perfect smile. The Bible said a brother had hair nappy. I'm sorry, texture. He had hair that was like wool. I ain't never seen no yakky hair on no sheep, no wool. I ain't never seen blonde locks flowing elegantly off a sheep. I'm sorry, this ain't sainted, right? They say his feet were like brass. You know, I ain't never sainted. I ain't never seen some white. And if you're gonna just take the words, but they don't mean nothing, okay, well, give them. Let him be a white dude. Give Bob Ross had an afro. He was painting pictures. Jesus made the world in 6 days. He made a painting. Let Jesus have a little fro. And let him have dark feet. I mean, if that's your book, you got to ride by it, right? But I guess that's the problem. Like, as Americans, we're just going to say from the South, like, I'm not going to worship some sandman. You know, my Jesus, his name, Jesus H. Christ, the H stands for Henry. He comes from a good Southern family. And I love him. I see, like, he's right there. I got a tattoo of him. Okay, why does he look like Kid Rock? Because that's what Jesus looks like. Haven't you seen the pictures? Jesus is he's a good old boy, you know. But behind that, he's got a red neck because it's hot over there. I don't even know why we deal with those people. I find that amazing. Amazing, it's astounding. I guess amazing isn't the right word. And then, you know, even like, okay, let's just bring up Barack Obama, right? Barack Obama, clean cut guy, nice smile, very unintrusive voice. He doesn't sound like one of the homies from the hood. Sounds educated, right? Very non-threatening. And his wife, you know, Michelle, Miss Obama. They was loving on each other. You know, they never said a mumbling bad word to nobody. And everybody said the most hateful things about them too. And it wasn't political. It wasn't political. It wasn't like, I don't agree with their values. It was like, no. Racial things, right? Talked about Miss Michelle Obama's looks. And I don't know who the hell they was looking at, because I think she's a smoke show. She's a brick house. But then we get, you know, our previous administration, right? Everybody was talking about how beautiful Melania is. Never mind, the girl ain't got no degrees or nothing, and I ain't stanking on her. I'm just keeping it 100. She ain't got no degrees. She ain't accomplished nothing, and she was in a loveless marriage. But everybody like, this is what we aspire to be. This is what it was, just because of the facade, the countenance, the visage. I'm using all them big words today. That's what the people want, you know. I find that real, that's really, really telling, I think. Put politics aside, you know. Also, I don't trust, okay, I'm not going to say I don't trust, I don't understand black people who quote unquote sound white. And because everybody I know, everybody I grew up around, sounds like, you know, DMX. They sound like Method Man. You know, my drunk uncles, they sound like ODB when they get that little sauce up in them. So I don't know if that's a learned behavior to sound non-threatening. Like, hi, my name is Tyrone Taquell Johnson. And we just moved in from the block, and I'm really happy to meet you. Like, I don't know. Like, I used to work with a guy. And when I first met him, he was like, oh, it's a black dude. I'm like, hey, what's going on? I heard, hey, what's up? Like, where'd that come from? You know, I don't want to say, I think sometimes people just talk funny. I get it. Other times, to me, I think maybe subconsciously, if this black person was raised around white people, then maybe that's a defense mechanism, you know, like a coping mechanism to be integrated in their thing. Now, I ain't stanking on it. I'm just saying, I got some things that I don't know about. You know, I talked to my great grand aunt, I think. And this is very important too. This is why you gotta keep good family ties. I was talking to my grand aunt, and she was telling me about. My great-great-grand-aunt, maybe. She was born late 1800s, and she lived to be like 100-some-odd years old. We called her Aunt Minnie. And just out the blue, she gave me this little piece of family history. She said, you know, Aunt Minnie, her dad was white. And I was like, really? I didn't know that. She was like, yeah, she was born on the I ain't gonna say plantation, but she was a sharecropper, yeah, and her mother was impregnated by a white dude, and they had like 6 or 7 kids. And I was like, really? And I don't know, maybe I got that Disney fantasy in my head, like, did they love each other? Like, it was an interracial couple, and he helped raise all these little babies and stuff? And she said, I don't think so. I said, okay. And I was like, I was able to track. It's just one little conversation was able to get a little piece of history. And then from there, you know, my great grand aunt had my grandma. Well, you know, and then from there, I talked to my mom. And I said, Mom, did you know that Aunt Minnie she was like, yeah, I knew. And she was like, you got white people on the other side of your family. I said, really? She was like, yeah. And I'm like, oh. And but the crazy thing is, like, I don't go around like, oh, well, you know, I'm 1/18th German, 1/15th. Oh, that's not even right math. 1/8th, you know, Polish. Like, no. When you see me, you see a black dude. And that's okay. I mean, we go by what we see, right? I wouldn't try to claim nobody else's heritage. But the crazy thing is, when I talk to white people, it's like, well, you know, I'm also 1/64th Cherokee and 1/8th French and 1/4th German. It's like, no, man, after so many generations, after 3 generations, we live in America, other countries don't recognize that. I saw a documentary about it. Like, look, after 3 generations, you an American. You live in America. I don't care what your people did before. All the other people was born in America. You are fully integrated into America. But that's not how it works, though. And again, like I said, I got my own biases in my neighborhood. Right? In my neighborhood, I live next to a white dude. Everyone else is black. It's not a big deal. That's my dude. Across the street, we got some new neighbors in. And they just got there a couple months ago, but I'm starting to see things that they want his house to me. Like, okay, in front of this house, I come outside, I'm walking Ebony, and I look across the street, and I see 2 old box Chevys. Now, for people who don't know, the uninitiated, box Chevys are older Chevy Caprices, typically, you know, 70s to the, say, mid-80s. Typically associated, you know, with nefarious hood dudes, you know. So I see one over there, and I'm like, huh, okay, I keep an eye on that. Well, like a week later, I see 2 of them out there now. I'm like, man, okay, I definitely don't like that. I'm sitting on my porch. No, I'm sorry, I'm standing on my porch with my hands on my hips, just looking across the street like, would you look at that? I guess the neighborhood's going down, you know? Like, maybe they like collecting old cars. That's entirely possible, but just when I saw that, those 2 little indicators, I automatically started having these preconceived notions. Fact of the matter is, maybe it's just a low, you know, low-income family. Maybe, again, maybe they just car aficionados, but I was like, yeah, let me keep an eye on that. I don't like that. You dig? But also, oh, I gotta tell y'all. Okay, so I talk about my dog a lot because I like my dog. Some people ask about my dog. If you don't like to hear about my dog, that's fine. But my dog's getting old. She's been old, but starting to kind of show his age. And I get protective of my old dog. Like, I tell people, like, oh man, I came home yesterday and the dog peed on her bed. Like, this is the 4th time in a row. So I gotta, like, take a bed, wash it, put it out every time. And one of my coworkers, she was like, well, you know, she's an older dog. I say, she's not old dog. She's gonna live forever. You know, I got that kid thing. Like, she's not old. She just, you know, she just didn't make it to the toilet in time or something. Right, so my coworker brings me these doggy diapers. Now, doggy diapers are like kid diapers, like, you know, they diapers. So I see the box, and I'm like, I'm not putting those on her. It took me too long to get home. You know, I need to drive fast. I need to leave out less water. Right? But I did those things, and I came home again, and she peed in her bed. It's like, she didn't pee on the floor. She peed in her bed. So I'm like, maybe she peed while she was asleep. So after this, I sit on the stairs, and I tell her to come here. And I'm looking at her old eyes, and she got like a little gray goatee now. I got a little gray in my goatee. And I'm looking at her eyes. I see the cataract form and this stuff. I'm like, but you still a wolf, though. You know, you ain't no pound puppy, you know. But I look at this box and these diapers, so I'm like, I open up the diaper bag. I don't even know if that's what it's called. I open it up and I look at it, and it's like a little baby diaper. but then it's got like a little hole cut in it. And it took me way too long to realize, oh, that's where her tail go. Okay, cool. So I give her a couple pats, and she looking at me, I guess as much as she can see of me with a cataract. And she look at the thing I'm holding in my hand. I'm like, I apologize. I'm like, look, I'm going to put this on you. Like, be cool. Because I ain't never tried to do this before. So she's standing there. She looking at me. She like, okay, what are you doing? And I reach and I go, I have to take the little tabs off. But, you know, she's also hairy, so I can't let the tabs get the hair on. So I get one leg secured, but they was too small. So then I'm trying to get the other side on, and then I grab the tail. I ain't grab it like hard, but I try to put it through the hole. And see, she an old lady, but she also respectful. She don't play that. She like, look, I don't know what you're doing, but you don't touch my tail. I'm like, okay, cool. So after trying to put the diaper on, kind of find it was too small. Like after me trying to get her tail through, she kind of like walked away. Like, so I'm sitting there holding a crumpled diaper in my hand, and she took a couple steps away. She looked back. She was like, look, I don't know what that was, but we will never do that again. We will never speak of it. That's not a thing anymore. And just kind of walked off. I respected it. They were too small. I got to get some bigger diapers. But my whole thing is, like, she's peeing more frequently. And her urine, when she pees outside, is, like, the color Mountain Dew. You know, and she's always thirsty. Now, in humans, that's a sign of possible diabetes. And people are telling me, like, I'm going to have to, like, give her shots and all that stuff. I'm like, I refuse. Like, ain't no diabetic wolves out there. Like, ain't nobody giving, look, she was born a wolf. I will not degrade. Well, the diaper thing's got to happen, though. It's got to happen. But ain't no wolf eating a deer carcass and be like, oh, I got to check my blood sugar. Like, ooh, is this a sugar-free rabbit? I'm like, nah, man. Like, look. And then somebody was like, I got to get her soft food because her canine teeth are old. Like, look, man, you're a wolf, man. The pack got you. But at the same time, I'm not going to be sitting here riding around with some diabetic, insulin-dependent. Okay, that's my homie. I'm not going to talk. And the bad things, I had a coworker who had a diabetic cat. And a couple podcasts ago, I used to make fun of it. Like, just...
Control watch.
Just going. Thinking about this diabetic cat used to make me laugh hysterically. You got no idea, because the visuals is in my head. Because he had to go home and, like, get his cat shots. And now, I'm thinking about... Cats are different than dogs. We all know that, but... A dog was understanding. Like, a dog let me almost put a diaper on her. She was cool. Like, but a cat, though, like, how do you go about doing that? So you got to go home every day. You got to grab, I would imagine, a beach towel, throw it over this cat. And cats is hissing. Cats don't like touches and stuff. You got to grab this angry ball of fur, grab it up, swoop it, and then, like, shoot insulin. Well, first you got to go get the insulin. So you got to go to your fridge, and the cats don't care when you come home. You go and you pull out the little needle and draw the 5 milligrams of, what is it called? Not insulin, what kind of insulin? The fast acting and the slow acting. I was researching all that stuff. So you got to grab your insulin. And then from there, you got to track the cat down because cats are small. And then the cat know what you're coming to do, so it's hissing at you. You're like, come on, Mr. Fuzzy Pants. Come on, Mr. Fuzzy Pants. Just come on. We do this every day. We've been doing this for 3 years. Come to me, Mr. Fuzzy Pants. And then, like, the cat, you might reach for it, scratchy. Or if it takes a run, you throw the beach towel over it. From there, the cat's fighting you, and you got to shoot it for insulin. And you got to do this, what, twice a day? At least with a dog, you know, you can lure it in with a treat, pet it real quick. Yeah, a dog's going to show you love. I mean, yeah, you might have to grab it. Yeah, well, if you said, come here, boy. Or whatever your dog name is, it's coming. And yeah, you stab it with a needle, and it's a dog might not even feel it. But I'll keep y'all updated. All right, So, like, since this pandemic thing didn't happen, like, we had to change certain things. And one of the things I've been fighting, changing, is the way I go to the barbershop. I don't like going to the barbershop, but I do like the old way of doing it. Like, all these new barbershops now, you can cash app, or you can set an appointment through an app and all this other type of stuff. I like just driving to the barbershop if I got nothing else to do. I go up in there. If it's too many people, I leave. And if it's not, then I go and sit down to my barber. I like my barber. We don't talk much. He was like, what we doing with it? I say, the usual. I ain't got pointing nothing on the wall, because they used to have pictures on the wall. You can get a high top fade or the Jesse Jackson. I ain't got to do all that. I said, the usual. Okay, cool. He gets me in and I'm done in like 15 minutes. Well, now, for the last like week, I've drove by my barbershop like 4 times. And they haven't been open. I'm kind of scared they went out of business. So, I felt unfaithful, but I was just driving around just looking for a barbershop. And I saw this cool little barbershop. Right, it was too cool for me. Like, when I pulled up, I parked my car. And in the parking lot, it's like 3 BMWs. And I hear music playing inside, some young people music. I park my car and I get out because I'm looking real whooped. And as soon as I open up the door, it's all bright and shiny. It's got hardwood floors. Okay, I like a barbershop that looks like the old movie, The Barbershop. You know, old dude in the back, 2-3 people, a couple Ebony magazines, something like that. I go up in there. There's little kids running around. There's a white dude in the back with a nice fade. There's a lounge area. They got one of those arcade basketball things where you can like shoot like mini hoops and stuff. And it's just like, oh Jesus, I don't want to do this. So I walked to the guy. I was like, yo man, can I get a haircut? He was like, I don't know. He got a mask on and stuff. He like, I don't know. And he asked the white dude, whatever his name was, Joshua, you free? And Joshua had mask on, checking his little iPad. I'm about to say Palm Pilot. That's how old I am. He was like, no, I got an appointment set up. And then the young man said, no, unfortunately, we only do it by appointments. I'm like, okay, well, how do you set an appointment? He gives me a flyer. He say, you know, you call, we can set you up. And I was like, okay, I can call. That's not too bad. And as I walk out, I'm just like, this is what we come to. It's like either I walk around looking like Frederick Douglass, or I go the technology route. So I felt, I don't know, man. I felt like a dinosaur. I did, but it was too cool. Like, I just need an old barbershop, one of the ones that smell like, you know, the Barbasol or something. Like, not too much conversation, because I already know they're gonna ask me what I think about stuff. I ain't no new friends. I don't want no new friends. Just cut my hair. I'm real talk. I'm contemplating just shaving my own head just to not deal with that. It's so petty, but it's the truth. Okay, fam. Now, I'm sorry I didn't say that right. I gotta put that enthusiasm in. Here we go. And now time is. Oh shucks. I'm not starting over. Let's try it again. 1, 2, 3. And now, fam, it's time for the BTP News. Yo, home for uninformed news. Showed up. No bad news. Facebook buddies. Or Instagram buddies. You can reach us on Bro3Pod. Yeah. And nobody bring me no bad news. All right. And now it's time for the BTP News, your home for uninformed news. The premise is real simple. I find a headline that I find humorous in some way. I don't read the article. And then from there, we just kind of use our power of imagination and figure out what might have been the story behind such events. And our story is white man accused of slapping black toddler on plane / loses his job. Okay, now, this is how it goes down. All right. Now, okay, there was a time when flying was an event, right? Like, back in the 60s, like, people used to dress up. They used to wear suits and stuff. They used to wear their little hat, and they had their little newspaper, and maybe the young lady, because they were stewardesses back then. Stewardesses, plural. Stewardesses would hand you a martini. You read the paper as you was going across country to sell carpet cleaners or something, right? All right, so in my brain, the guy, let's see, this guy I'm calling, Archie. His name is Archie. Archie Wilson is on the plane. And maybe he's one of these older gentlemen. He's got to be an older guy. He's sitting on the plane, and he's dressed up. But he's an older guy, you know, going bald. He took his little top hat off. I don't know if it's called top hat. But the hat, the nice hat that people wear. What was that? Not Kangol's. The hat begins with an F. Might have a little feather in it. I don't know. All the cool uncles used to have. Anyway, sitting there reading his newspaper. But the thing is, time has changed. He might think it's still an event to get on a plane, an aeroplane, and fly across to California, but most people just do it. They wear their sleep clothes now. You know, people walk around here with the onesies on, those pajama onesies and stuff. So he's sitting there with his newspaper, and he's reading, he's trying to see how stocks have done, right? And this kid is crying. This little kid, bawling his eyes out, maybe first time on a plane. We call him Tavon, right? Tavon's crying. His mom, she's trying to shake him, like, come on, okay, it's going to be okay. He's a toddler, so he got his own seat, but she's holding him. You know, maybe they in the sky. Holding him, kind of bobbing him a little bit. And, you know, Archie, he grew up back in the day, you know what I'm saying? You discipline the kid. You spare the rod, you spoil the child. So he's sitting there, he's kind of looking at his newspaper. He's looking over at them. They're a couple of aisles in front of him. He goes back to his newspaper. He's like, ugh. He takes his hat off, sitting in the seat next to him. There's no one sitting next to him. He folds up his newspaper, hunches it. He stands up, takes his jacket off, hunches up his belt. Hatches up his pants. He's like, you know what? I guess a man's gonna have to do this. And he probably said something along the lines like, "Woman, if you can't shut that kid up, well, by God, I'll shut him up for you." And the woman's like, "Excuse me, sorry, sir. Well, you gotta realize Archie grew up in watching Gone with the Wind. You know, like, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn." Or when a woman was acting erratic in those black and white movies, you grab and shake and give it like quick smack in the face, like the Honeymooners, you know. So he ain't scared to get his hands dirty. It's been a while. He's out of practice, but he still got a good slap or two in him. So he tells the woman, "Ma'am, if you don't shut that baby up, I'll shut him up for you." And she's like, "What? Like, what are you talking about?" And the baby was like, "Oh, my ears are popping." He was like, "See, I told you, slap the baby, slap." And probably like, and she's like, "Sir, what are you doing?" He's like, "No, that's the only way they're gonna learn." And he's probably like, "You little N-word baby, slap, slap, slap." Give him the front. Control on 13. He's like, "What are you doing?" Like, "I just gave him five across the eyes, ma'am. And if you don't shut up, I'll give you some too, because you're looking a little delirious." And he went back to his seat, put his suit jacket on, went back to his paper. And then, like, everybody's freaking out because that's the culture we live in. They're like, "Oh my God, that man just slapped that baby? Did that man just slap that baby?" And then, like, the I ain't gonna say air marshal, the stewardesses, they flight attendants now. Flight attendants come like, "Sir, what did you just do?" And you're like, "What? All that is, slap a little N-word, baby." Right? And by the time he got off the plane, he was internet famous. And that's what happened. All right, now let's see what the story actually was. Okay, let's see. An Idaho man has been charged. He's probably traveling with some potatoes. An Idaho man has been charged with assaulting a minor after he allegedly uttered a racial slur and slapped a 2-year-old boy who cried on a Delta plane as it began the final descent into Atlanta. Oh, see, yeah, you was doing the wrong thing. Well, just to be fair, you shouldn't be putting your hands on nobody's kids anyway. Y'all was literally on the final descent. You ain't have to say nothing. And honestly, I'm just trying to figure out, why didn't nobody whoop this old man? Look, even if it ain't my kid and he's getting on my nerves like everybody else, you put their hand on that kid as a black man sitting there, like if the mom look at me like, what, why didn't you? I'm beating the brakes off of you. That's what's gonna happen. Anyway, okay. Do I wanna put the man's name out here? Yeah, skip it, why not? Joe Ricky Hundley of Hayden, Idaho was charged with assaulting a minor in the February 8th incident. His company, which is initially suspended him, said Saturday that Hundley no longer has his job. Reports, wanted to work at the Coca-Cola plant. All right, let's see. Reports of the recent behavior of one of our business unit executives while on personal travel are offensive and disturbing, said a statement from AGC Aerospace and Defense. Brother, why are you flying coach, man? You can make a plane. We have taken this matter very seriously and will work diligently to examine it since learning learning of the matter on Friday afternoon. As of Sunday, the executive is no longer... You are an executive, man. Jesus. Is no longer employed. How many babies has he slapped on business trips? I'm sorry, his personal travel. While employed with the company. AGC Aerospace and Defense supplies technology and other services to the military and businesses. Shine said her client is unfairly portrayed. Racist issues, and I want to be clear, he is not a racist, Shine said. I think this is the lawyer. Dealing with specific issues. Oh, what happened was I took the screenshot, but I think I cut off some of the words. His family, John Thompson, said the family has not decided yet whether to sue, but he said... Yeah, I'm assuming he believed Hundley should be punished beyond the loss of his job and possible 1-year federal something. The family wants to make sure that Mr. Hundley and anyone like Mr. Hundley never does something like that again, said CNN. Is there more to this story? According to documents filed on the U.S. District Court in Atlanta last week, the boy's mother, I'm not going to put her name out there, of Minnesota, and her son were seated in a row, they put the row on there, on Delta flight originating in Minneapolis. She spent part of the flight in the rear of the plane to get away from Hundley, who she said smelled like alcohol and was slurring his words. He's a businessman from the 1950s. I knew it. Had a couple martinis. According to Thompson, as the plane began its final descent into Atlanta, the boy began to cry because of the altitude change, and his mother tried to soothe him. Then Hundley, who was seated next to the mother and son, allegedly told her to shut that N-word baby up. Hundley then turned around and slapped the child in the face with an open hand, which caused him to scream even louder, right below his right eye. Okay, I cut off the rest of it. Let's see. Jane and one of them heard the slur and witnessed the alleged assault. Oh, see, I took a better screenshot right here. Here's all the words. Yeah. All right, with the last sentence. Other passengers on the plane assisted Bennett, and then one of them heard the slur and witnessed the alleged assault. The affidavit said. Yeah. You know, if she was flying into Atlanta, I really hope she was going to see her baby daddy. I know it's stereotypical, but I hope she was going to see a family member, a male family member. And I hope Mr. Three Martinis can't keep his hands to himself. I hope a couple Box Chevys was sitting out there, a couple Caprices. You know what I'm saying? I hope. Look, no, I don't hope violence on nobody. But, yeah, keep your hands to yourself. That's very important. And plus, you don't get no brownie points for slapping a kid in the face. Even if it's your kid, don't put your hands on the babies, okay? They grow up with low self-esteem and stuff. But, yeah, somebody should definitely been kicking that butt on the plane. All right, y'all, this has been another episode of Bros 3 Podcast. Thank you for listening this far. Hold on. I got some outro music on this one. Hold on. I got to do it. Hold on. All right, this is the Honeymooners. I don't know if y'all watched the Honeymooners, but this is how the world's gonna look different because, like, he threatened to whoop his wife all the time. He was like, "Hey, you don't shut up, I bang zoom to the moon." And my dude from ACG Technology is gonna make us a plane to make sure you land on the moon. Anyway, if you like what you heard, you know, like us on wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you didn't, guess what? We're gonna try again next week. Y'all be sweet to each other, be good, and I love y'all. Peace.